Want to gain an edge in international markets with foreign currency exchange? At Associated Bank, we've got you. We can assist you in obtaining or converting foreign currency and managing the exchange risk to your advantage. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Melissa Cooper, Director of Treasury Management, Sales, and Onboarding at Associated Bank. Melissa, welcome back.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. It's good to see you again.
Good to see you. I want to focus our conversation on fraud and scams and what banks are doing and financial institutions are doing to sort of combat some of this. It's really gotten a high level. I want to focus first on artificial intelligence. There's an example of a voice AI that's replicated a customer of a bank, and this story talks about how the bank is called by this person and it's the customer's voice. Mm-hmm. What is going on?
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of new technology out there. You've probably heard of deepfake videos and stuff, but now it's sort of moved to the voice. And while most, you know, lots of banks have technology to help pick up on this stuff, but it is something that is starting to really, we're starting to see out in the world of business and even personal to personal. The technology isn't as good as the video. So there, if you listen very carefully, you can pick up on some of the nuances that it's really not a true person. But yeah, it's something we're keeping an eye on.
Well, so what is the potential danger here? I guess, you know, all of those safeguards that banks have. I know when I call my bank, they require passwords and codes and stuff. But is the fear that somebody's going to be able to replicate your voice and maybe call a spouse with it and get your passcode?
Right. Yeah. So you're spot on, Steve. Right. So banks and our customer care centers and stuff have authentication procedures. So, you know, the average customer care person isn't going to know a person's voice anyway. So it's not going to be meaningful. But where the danger is, you know, if someone fakes my voice and calls my mother and says, "Hey, mom, I need help. Can you wire me money?" And it might sound like me. And so my mom, you know, in a rush or is concerned about her daughter, might send money and it's not really me. Right. As an example. So that's where this becomes a little bit of danger. Mm-hmm. The technology isn't quite there yet. If you really listen to the nuances, you can hear where you know, somebody might be typing in the background, or the fake voice can't really hold a conversation, can't be very social about it.
Mm-hmm. So. And then on the flip side of that is that somebody calls and they are posing as a bank or a credit card company or something to try to get your passcode, right?
Right. And so first thing to say to the listeners is banks will never call you to, you know, ask for your password or something like that. We don't do that. So that's the first thing. So if you have someone sort of interpreting a bank and they're asking for personal identifiable information, it's probably not your bank and you should hang up. But other than that, you know, you do have to be mindful of, you know, who you're hearing. And again, and I want to be very careful, like there's not a lot of this happening right now, but it's something that's on the fringes that we're, you know, banks and businesses are seeing a little bit more of, if you will.
And it's one of those things, it's almost like spy versus spy, right? We have to stay abreast of the latest just so we know how to fight them off.
Exactly, exactly. And that's kind of why we as banks stay on top of it, right? Because we need to be ahead of the fraudsters. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly putting technology in place to help detect against some of this type of stuff. And we're training our colleagues too as well to make sure they're listening and following authentication procedures as well, no matter how much they think they know the person on the other line.
From 2020 to 2022, bits of personal data on more than 300 million people fell into the hands of hackers, leading to $8.8 billion in losses, according to the Federal Trade Commission.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how big the problem is.
It is. It is big. And a lot of that information, you know, if we stay in the fraudster world, but move away from AI, but into, you know, things like business email compromise and stuff, and the black web, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of fraudsters are getting this information through, you know, malware that might be, you know, coming through business emails, through social networking. So all that stuff people put online on their social networks, those are all things that are used to help scam money from you.
Yeah. And the voice, that's how they're going to get your voice too.
Yes,
probably
exactly.
From a TikTok video.
Absolutely. It's like 30 seconds of data from a voice to actually be able to replicate a conversation.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how businesses, banks, other financial institutions are working to prevent fraud and protect not only themselves, but customers. customers. What are the leading things that they're doing? We talked already about the passcodes and stuff that you need to get past, you know, to get into your bank account online or on the phone. Right. What are some of the other things that are happening?
Yeah. So as a bank, so you mentioned passcodes. We also, you know, on our online sites and stuff, we put multi-factor authentication. That's huge. And that's just, so you have your password, but then you also have to, you know, put a PIN into your phone or something to, again, identify you or who you are. And then that device that you set up with you is with you, and it's attached to you, right? We also, a big part of it is really training our colleagues who have to talk to customers all the time and might be getting emails. So we're constantly training. We're actually sending, you know, from our side, we send our colleagues fake scam emails to test them, so that they can really be able to look out for some of these warning signs that can help us detect what might be happening. Because we also, you know, customers, or not customers, but fraudsters will try to email us too to send stuff out, and we don't. And that's why we have a lot of authentication methods in place for our colleagues. So really, it's constant IT, right? You know, we're looking at certain transactions, making sure they're not going to what we know is fraudster accounts. We're putting technology in place on our customer care lines to help pick up on some of this stuff. And then we're training our colleagues constantly on how to identify, not only via emails, but also, you know, when we do know your customer, which, you know, sometimes, you know, our customers get annoyed about, but that's our regulatory requirement to make sure we know who we're doing business with.
A lot of it has to do, too, with just continually training and having due diligence in place, right? Mm-hmm. Just to make sure you never let down your guard.
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why we're constantly testing, right? To make sure people don't fake.
And one of the things I didn't think about, but that is having a culture where if you see something, say something.
Yes.
So some of this stuff might actually develop from inside an organization, and somebody may see it happening have a whistleblower program.
Yep. And we do. And typically you want, and this is for banks and even businesses, you have whistleblower programs, you have special emails or phone lines that colleagues can call into if they see something, so they can say something. You know, if colleagues are getting strange emails and they're just not for sure, I always tell my employees, just send it off. We have a special email address. Send it off and let them check, right? It's better for them to check and make sure it's all clear before you start pressing things. So we really have built a culture of if you see something, say something. If you're not for sure, it's better for you to get confirmation rather than click.
And whatever you do, back to the emails, don't click on those links.
Correct. click on those links.
Unless you know for 100% certainty.
Yeah. And so we move to like our customers, and that's the part that we can't protect against. Like we can't protect our customers from accidentally clicking and sending out that payment, but we see it every single day where customers are getting that email from, you know, I'm using air quotes here, right? The vendor that they have to pay saying, hey, we changed our address, or hey, we changed our account. Please update your system. And our customers don't have procedures in place to really confirm that. And so one of the biggest things we educate on is making sure you put internal procedures in place for when you're making those payment or vendor changes or address changes, just to make sure that that payment is really going where it's supposed to go.
And from a consumer standpoint, from a customer standpoint, I can't tell you how often I get a fake email from something that
looks, text message,
or
right?
text message from something that looks like my bank or credit card company, and I just never click on any of it.
You shouldn't.
Right.
Yep.
What can, if I were to click on that, what are the kinds of things that person who's sending me can get? Can they get everything at that point?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what it is, right? There could be some type of malware attached to that link that uploads to your phone. So then you're going to have to take it to some security expert to kind of check. And there's, I don't know, depending on the phone, there's ways to do that. But if depends on what you gave them when you click that button as well. So if you started giving them social security number or passwords and stuff, then you want to go into full force of protecting those things, right? So if you did give them your PIN or password, you want to make sure you update that right away and make sure it's a strong PIN or password. If you gave social security number by mistake, then you want to make sure you have Social Security blocks on your account, right, to make sure there's not new credit being opened against your Social Security number. So it's really going to depend on what it was that you gave when you clicked on it, and then you also want to make sure your devices haven't been compromised by that clicking due to malware or something like that.
I've always wondered, and you may not be able to answer this, maybe you can, but what is my liability as a customer if I accidentally click on a link like that and they steal my money from my bank account?
Yeah, so it's going to depend on how long it took to, and every state's a little different. There's some legal rules on it and stuff like that. So it's going to depend on how long it took you to identify, like let your bank know. There's certain time periods around that based on the type of transaction it was. So you're really going to want to work with your banking partner. But depending on it, so businesses and consumers have different rules. Consumers have a little bit longer, businesses don't. So oftentimes, if you send out a payment and you initiate it or whatever, it's going to be on that business for reimbursement oftentimes. But it's every situation is different. That's why you want to make sure you're protecting yourself, because ultimately some of that liability could be on you as the consumer or customer.
The good thing is that a lot of banks and financial institutions now, as soon as they see something that's odd, they stop it.
We do, right. And customers often get upset about that, but oftentimes, usually you're right, and it's usually for the protection of the customer. We just want to make sure it's not being sent to the wrong place, because you're probably not going to get back. And in some cases, the bank could, especially on the consumer side, we might be liable. So we want to make sure we're reducing our losses as much as possible, too, as well. So it's really to help protect the client and make sure that people are keeping their money as much as possible,
yeah,
if possible. Right. So.
Yeah. So put on your future prediction cap here, if you could, for just a moment. I know we've talked about this.
My crystal ball that I have here.
Get your crystal ball out. Is there going to ever be a time when all of this is going to be completely secure?
No.
No?
I don't think so. Scary. I mean, again, I'm, one person. I think the answer is no. I think we'll get in a better space. If you think about the payment landscape in other countries, as an example, they're much more electronic, and that's a little bit harder to tap into. It still happens, don't get me wrong, but America is still a very high check paying culture, and there's an element about checks, as an example, that there's no way you can control, right? We've seen a lot of the mail theft that's been happening and stuff. In the electronic world, if you move that from paper to electronic payments, the chances of sort of the fraud in that goes down dramatically, and the research shows that as well. And part of it is because when you do electronic payments, it's typically the things that go wrong are things that you could have controlled, right? So if you sent an errant ACH payment, it's because usually the colleague changed the information without confirming it. That's something you can fix and train on, right? Versus a check, once it's out there in the universe, your account number, your routing number, your address, you can wash it. It's all sort of out of your hands, right? So there's not a time, I don't think, because fraudsters really, they're one step ahead, always constantly trying to figure out ways to penetrate the system as best they can, but there are things you can do certainly to shore it up big time.
Yeah, they only need to get through one time, right? They have probably hit 100 people at once, and all they really need is one score.
It's just that one time, right? And there's like, these are legitimate companies and businesses, right? There are just fraudsters. There are people and businesses out there in the world. This is what they do for a living, is to try and find ways to skim money, right? So, and it's scary, right? Yeah. So how do you, I tell clients, and it's not meant to scare them, but it's not if, it's when. Because it most likely will happen. And you hope it's a smaller dollar amount, but sometimes they're larger dollar amounts too. So,
Melissa, great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and talk one-on-one if they want?
Yeah, so it's been a great conversation. Melissa Cooper, and you can reach out at treasury@associatedbank.com.
All right, come back. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.